Part 2. The Smart Nonprofit Use Case Examples and Management. Chapter 7. Ready, Set, Go. Introduction. Layla Toplik, head of Emerging Technologies Initiative at NetHope, emphasizes the importance of being intentional in developing adequate expertise to guide responsible design and use of AI/ML. She says, the nonprofit sector has a responsibility to the people and the communities they support to evaluate suitability of artificial intelligence for the problems they face and to know how to guide impactful, sustainable, and ethical development and use of AI systems in humanitarian contexts. This chapter outlines a process for honing in on a specific use of smart tech, choosing your partners and tools well, and creating a thoughtful implementation process that ensures that far more good than harm will happen. It is vital that you and your organization be proactive in thinking through the specific use of smart tech, consider the benefits and potential for harm, and stay human-centered at every step. We recommend an implementation process that includes the steps and activities shown in Table 7.1. In this chapter, we'll explore each of these three steps. Table 7.1. Ready, Set, Go. Ready. Create a smart tech team of stakeholders to advise on a clear problem statement and other activities. Define a strategic, mission-driven purpose by identifying an important pain point or problem to be solved. Involve end users through interviews or observations to define the problem from their point of view. Create a use case and user journey map to ensure a human-centered process. Imagine any unintended consequences that may result from using smart tech. Set. Identify potential tools, vendors, and technical consultants. Evaluate and select partners who are values-aligned. Create measures of success. Proactively mitigate bias. Be sure you are protecting users' data privacy. Go. Create an iterative implementation process beginning with a prototype to pressure test your use case concept. Set up a pilot test with small number of end users, gather feedback, and revise. Make go/no-go decision. Ensure you have in-house capacity to sustain and scale effective use over time. Ready. Readiness begins with identifying real and important problems people are having inside and outside of your organization. The most common mistake organizations make is using a smart tech hammer and then looking around for nails. As Nick Hamlin, Director of Data Science and Analytics at Global Giving, told us, AI is like hot sauce. A little bit, used in the right place, can be perfect, but dumping too much on or using it everywhere will probably ruin your meal. In strategic terms, this means pinpointing the exact problem to be addressed. Identifying pain points with the stakeholder team. The starting point for organizations is identifying the needs of people who will administer and be affected by the systems and their pain points. There are some common pain points we have heard internal stakeholders like staff and external stakeholders like clients say. Internal stakeholders. We don't have enough people to keep up with client demands. We spend more time doing paperwork than serving clients. We spend hours manually going through records to find the right information for our clients. We spend an enormous amount of time gathering and researching information about existing and prospective donors. We keep answering the same questions over and over again on the phone. We keep typing in the same answers into emails or live chat, even though the information is on our website. We don't have a translator to talk to clients. The donor said no because we didn't cultivate them before the ask. There was no way for us to know that the client was at risk. External stakeholders. I had to wait hours on hold to find out the status of my application and benefits. We don't have water due to the storm, and I need to know where to get bottled water right now. I found a missing dog but can't locate its owner to return it. I'm not a lawyer and don't understand whether I can sue my landlord. I'm in a crisis and just need someone to talk to. Will my donation be processed in euros or dollars? I would consider donating to this organization again, but no one has talked to me in years. I tried to make a donation online, but something went wrong and no one was available to answer my question. You may have systems in place to get general feedback from internal and external users. You can use that feedback as a starting point in identifying pain points. We suggest creating a team of stakeholders to help you define a strategic, mission-driven purpose and determine how smart tech might help address those pain points in a clear problem statement. Keep in mind that these stakeholders should come from a range of different roles, and they should include frontline members and general workers, not just managers. The team of stakeholders needs to ask the right sorts of questions to help identify the pain points that smart tech might help address. Here are some guiding questions to help you identify your particular pain points. Do we have data about this pain point, or is it just a general feeling? And if it's just a general feeling, you should get data. Is this a problem smart tech is good at solving? Meaning, is it a problem that happens over and over for which we have, or can create, clear answers? What is our current approach to solving this problem? What are the current limitations? Which stakeholders, internal/external, will be affected by a change in how we do this? What unintended consequences might exist for end users? What are the potential harms? What do our ethical advisors think? Use cases. Moving from pain points to solutions requires use cases. A use case is a brief narrative description of who will use the technology, how they will use it, and any other important issues we need to consider along with the implementation of smart tech. Here are a few examples of use cases. Example number one. Our major gifts team is spending too much time doing desk research, researching and prioritizing potential donors and developing a cultivation schedule, and not enough time meeting with donors. We need to automate the process of reviewing thousands of unstructured notes and giving history and providing the best list of prospects. This will help enable us to spend more time strengthening our relationships with existing and prospective donors, avoid donors falling through the cracks, and reduce uncompensated overtime for staff. Example number two. The demand for answers to client questions outstrips our capacity to answer them. We want to redirect staff time from answering rote questions to building relationships with clients. A chatbot will help automate the process of answering the questions, freeing up staff to spend more time on the human aspects of working with our clients. We need to determine what questions should be automated and when clients should be directed to a person. Example number three. Handwritten applications require too much time to decipher and retype into our system. We could save an enormous amount of staff time by automating our application process. It would get information into our system faster and help reduce the wait time for benefits from clients. Example number four. There is far greater demand for our counseling services than we have trained counselors. We can train more counselors using an automated training system that involves simulated conversations. However, we will never allow bots to actually do counseling with our clients. Example number five. Robots are reliable and safe alternatives to volunteers for packing food boxes and doing inventory in our food bank. However, volunteers are the heart of our organization, and we must find new ways for them to engage in our services and help clients. The user journey map. An agreed-upon use case is then turned into a user journey map, a step-by-step outline of the end user's experience. An exercise like this is particularly important for public-facing tools like chatbots. The user journey outlines the questions a client might ask a chatbot and the corresponding responses. It also identifies exactly where automation ends and human interaction begins. Table 7.2 provides a simplified example of a user journey for a chatbot designed to answer questions about hurricanes by a disaster response organization. Table 7.2, User Journey Example. User Profile, Affected by Disaster. Types of Questions. Needs help with a life-threatening situation. Road to house is flooded and they can't get out. Electric wires are down. Stressed out and traumatized by experience. Answers. Route to human or call 911. User profile. Affected by disaster. Types of questions. Needs the locations of where to get clean water, food, and other supplies. Answers. Provide a list with addresses, phone numbers, and hours. User profile. Wants to help. Types of questions. Wants to donate. Answers. Provide a link to landing page. User profile. Wants to help. Types of questions. Wants to volunteer. Answers. Provide a page with a list of volunteer opportunities. Chris Tuttle is an advisor to nonprofits on their digital strategies. He recently helped a food bank transition from a live chat function to a chatbot. A live chat requires a person to respond in real time to messages. The demand created by the pandemic made this an impossible task. The live chat notification bell was going off constantly, indicating that another person or family needed help. This was more than a distraction. The manifestation of hunger and despair through a constantly ringing bell was taking an emotional toll on staff. The team responded by creating a user journey map. To do this, they reviewed the live chat transcript to analyze what types of questions were appropriate to answer by a chatbot and which clients should be routed to a human to respond. They explored in detail all the actions and tasks that the chatbot could do best and what the human does best and precisely where the handoff should be. Checklist for the ready step. Your organization needs to test the assumptions based on internal discussions about the pain points, use cases, and the user journey. You'll need to tailor your approach to the needs of your organization, but a good starting point would be to do these tasks. Task: involve end users through interviews or observations to define the problem from their point of view. What stakeholders can you interview or observe to gather more information about the problem? What questions will you ask them? How will you interview them? Based on the interview notes, do our stakeholders or end users view this pain point as the right problem to solve, or has something else emerged? Do you need to revise your description of the pain points? Task: test your use cases. Do your proposed use cases match what you heard from end users? What are some potential new use cases based on end user feedback? Can you describe how your pain point might be solved by smart tech from their point of view? Task: create a user journey map. What is the user journey to reach your goal? Is this a good experience or one filled with frustration or potential harm to the end user if not routed to a human? What tasks or decisions will be automated, and what tasks or decisions will only be done by humans? Does the workflow align with our values and the way we treat our people? Task: identify unintended consequences. Would automating this task pose a barrier to building relationships and trust with clients or donors? Are there feedback loops built into the technology to help people understand how it is working? Based on user feedback, is there the potential for the use cases to have unintended consequences? What are the unintended consequences? How can you iterate on your use case to mitigate risk? Set. It is critically important to be a savvy and skeptical consumer of smart tech. If you have access to tech and legal experts, this is a good place to have them weigh in on your choices. There are three areas to explore at this stage: selecting the right vendor, potential bias, and protecting users' privacy. Selecting a vendor. It's important to carefully examine smart tech products or services you are considering using. Here are questions you can ask individual potential vendors you are considering. What is your process for selecting a vendor? How does your technology align with our core values? Do these smart technology vendors align with our nonprofit's values? How will the technology help us solve our end user's problem and achieve better outcomes? How has the vendor or solution solved this problem with other nonprofits? How did the nonprofit/vendor measure success? What were the measurable results? What does the research literature say about the effectiveness of this type of technology? What capacity do we need in-house to sustain it, or will we be reliant on the vendor to get the work done? There are two important stumbling blocks to be aware of and avoid at this stage of considering vendors. Shiny object syndrome. Every generation is mesmerized by the next new technology promoted as the magical solver of all of their problems. Don't get distracted from your purpose and values by the latest off-the-shelf product. The goal isn't to use smart tech. The goal is to solve problems in thoughtful, values-aligned ways. Black boxes. Commercial software vendors most often consider the algorithms that power their tools proprietary. It is their secret sauce and how they make money. These secretive, opaque products are often derisively called black boxes. It will be difficult to avoid black boxes when working with vendors, but you are not obliged to just go along with their assurances. If you are going to use one that will substitute for human decision-making, you are obliged to try to pry them open just a bit and ask important questions to decide if this product is worthy of your organization. Mitigating bias. A critically important part of your process is to look carefully for bias built into the training data or system. This may be where you have to bang hard on a black box and ask questions of a potentially reluctant commercial vendor about whether and how the system has been tested for bias. The willingness or unwillingness of a vendor to engage with you in this process will tell you a lot about their values. Questions to ask about potential biases in the data are: what data were used to train the system? If third-party data is being used, where does it originate? How were data labels assigned and what are the definitions? Where and how might bias creep into the system? Algorithms can also be biased. It is important to scrutinize algorithms for potential bias using these questions. Who designed the code and algorithms? Did they get input from subject matter experts on the problem it is designed to solve? What assumptions are built into the code? What proxies were used? Was the algorithm tested to reduce bias? Data privacy. The privacy of end users has to be a top-tier concern. If data is being captured about individuals, is it being anonymized? It is important to ask these data privacy questions. If the data is being captured, is it being anonymized? Has personally identifiable information, PII, from datasets been removed so that the people whom the data describe are anonymous? Who owns the data? Where is it housed? Is there an outside ethics committee charged with reviewing the product for privacy and bias? What is your company's data use and privacy pledge? Once you have asked and answered these questions, you are ready to begin an iterative process of implementation. Go. At this point, you've finished identifying your goals, creating your plan, and preparing your vendors and tools, and you're ready to start using smart tech. Thoughtful implementation begins with a couple of baby steps to test whether there is a solid footing before it takes off running. This means starting with prototypes and pilot tests, reaching a go/no-go decision, and then launching into a full-scale implementation. Prototypes and pilot tests. Using smart tech is a big decision, and we strongly recommend an implementation process that includes prototyping as well as a pilot testing with a small group of users before full-scale launch. If the model works as expected, this kind of careful and thoughtful scaling process causes no harm. However, if there are, say, problems of bias or the results aren't what was promised, scaling this way will save an enormous amount of heartache. Working this way requires tight coordination between technical and program staff people. A prototype tests a design element, idea, or assumption for staff and end users. It can demonstrate functionality in the real world. For instance, a prototype for a chatbot could give you feedback on whether and how your end users will respond to an automated approach. A pilot test is a trial run of the smart technology with a small and controlled sample of end users. The purpose of running a pilot is to get a good understanding of how the smart tech works at full scale before going to full launch. Methods for assessing pilot tests include observation, interviews, and user reviews. Arriving at go or no-go. It is not a guarantee that pilot testing will lead to full implementation. Choosing not to go forward is as important an outcome as going forward as planned. Here are two examples of smart tech implementation, one which resulted in a go decision and one a no-go. The first examines how Puerto Rico dealt with the Zika outbreak in 2017. And the second explores how the Best Friends Animal Society sought to increase animal adoptions. The Zika virus outbreak in 2017 was an enormous health crisis in Puerto Rico. Puerto Ricans lacked accurate health information about Zika and were skeptical about the gravity of the virus. Public health officials, in partnership with IDEO, decided to quickly prototype and pilot test ZikaBot, a chatbot for Puerto Ricans to ask anonymous questions about Zika and receive accurate and timely health information. They prototyped with a small group of users who texted their questions to ZikaBot, which a team of subject experts answered. In some cases, the team debated internally on the most appropriate answers. Prototyping confirmed many of the team's assumptions. It demonstrated the public's lack of basic knowledge about the virus. It showed how a simple bot could distribute accurate public health information and track the questions that were top of mind for the public. The team also learned that a more conversational approach was required because formally worded responses created distrust. Finally, it became apparent that the anonymity of the chatbot emboldened users to ask far more personal and revealing questions than they did in person. After updating the code and script based on these findings, ZikaBot was fully and successfully launched. The mission of Best Friends Animal Society is to make the country no-kill by 2025 by increasing adoption rates. They partnered with Microsoft's social chatbot Zoe to reach new people and share the benefits of pet adoption. The Black Cat Adoption Week campaign was chosen as Zoe's pilot run to try to overcome the old superstition about black cats being bad luck. Sue Citro, Best Friend's chief experience officer, recalled, "We started with a script for Zoe that talked about how black cats are great companions and how Zoe found them so cute. But we also identified a red flag during the prototype stage, that it would be easy to teach Zoe to repeat racial slurs or inappropriate sexual innuendos, or maybe very direct ones, using a different word instead of cat." Continues Citro, We had to spend more time training her on what not to say before doing a pilot. Zoe promoted some black cats over others during prototyping. Citro thinks it was because the programmer took a liking to those particular cats. This illustrates how easy it is for a coder to embed their personal opinions into the code. Non-technical testers caught this bias, a good reminder of the need to have open participatory processes for designing and testing smart tech. Ultimately, Zoe has been retired, and no other animal campaigns were co-piloted. Says Citro, because of how much time was needed to ensure the bot didn't learn and share inappropriate ideas and words, we paused these newer strategies and pursued more direct life-saving work with the animals. Going full scale and maintenance. Going to full scale requires internal capacity to manage the tech in a sustainable way. Anna Bethke, head of AI for Social Good at Intel AI Products Group, said, "Artificial intelligence projects require constant attention. It isn't a set it and forget it. In some cases, there have been capacity issues with deployment because a proper staffing plan wasn't established. You may not have the capacity to hire a dedicated staff person to manage smart tech. However, existing staff people can be supported to develop the knowledge and skills necessary through education and training. In addition, there are volunteers with technical expertise available through organizations like Datakind or technology companies. Tasks for smooth scaling and maintenance include regular testing of results for bias, regular maintenance and updating of your dataset and algorithm, regular check-ins with vendors to see what, if anything, has changed with their models and what they are learning, interviews with users and stakeholders to monitor how well the smart tech is solving the intended problems and what, if any, new problems it may be creating, regular reports to senior executives and boards on the process and outcomes of smart tech use, plans for next phases or additional functionality and scaling infrastructure. Conclusion: getting ready should not be taken lightly or skipped. Take your time, do not rush, and give your organization the permission to hit the pause button if there is any potential to do harm. We've included key questions in this chapter to help you determine whether your organization has assessed unintended consequences at every preparation step along the way.